Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. Thanks so much for joining me again today. And I'm going to talk about something that's been on my mind quite a bit, which is this idea that there is no there. And I don't know that I'm the one who created this idea of there is no there. In fact, I have to really look and see. But I, more and more, I've really come to believe that when it comes to putting our voice out in the world, when it comes to the, when it comes to sharing, that the idea of getting there is something that I think holds us back from the journey. And actually, I found a, this is a Gertrude Stein quote. It says, the trouble with Oakland is when you get there, there isn't any there. but there is no there. The way that I mean it is not the way that Gertrude Stein meant it. Gertrude Stein meant it like there was no substance. What I mean by there is no there is that the destination that sometimes we're searching for, and I want to build my list to 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, you know, I want to be able to speak here or speak there. We often have a goal in our minds of where we want to be. And it's good to have a goal, but at the same time, our goals can sometimes get in the way of being present now, which is the only way that we're ever going to get there. So I want to explore this idea of there is no there and what it means in terms of putting your work out in the world. The first thing, actually, before I do that, I do want to share with you something that happened. You know, as of this recording, yesterday was the Oscars and for 2017. And they flubbed it. I actually did not watch the Oscars last night. I didn't watch the Academy Awards, but I did watch the review of it, and I read what happened. And it looks like they had the wrong envelope, and so they read the wrong picture. They said that La La Land won Best Picture, and in fact, it was actually a picture called Moonlight. And you know, I thought about what that's got to be like. You know, to if you. You finally, you work so hard, you make it just to make a movie alone, right? To get a film made is an incredible task. I mean, I have friends who are screenwriters and filmmakers, and I know what it's like to just to get your film out into the world. Number one is, you know, just to get it done is an incredible task. And then on top of it, when you're talking about, you know, making it to the Academy Awards, I mean, then you're talking about getting nominated for an Oscar. I mean, that alone, I mean, how many films come out every year and then only a few films are chosen to be the ones that are chosen for an Academy Award? And then to win, right? To win for Best Picture. I mean, that's the holy grail of the entertainment industry, of the film industry, is to win an Academy Award. So to do that, is, you know, that's the pinnacle, right? That's the there. And so here you go, and Warren Beatty and forget who it was. I'll take a look here. But I know, you know, Warren Beatty read he read out the wrong picture because they gave him the wrong envelope. And so you know, when they called it out, he said best picture is La La Land. And it turned out that was not true. It was actually Moonlight. So I thought to myself, you know, imagine here you are and you're the director of La La Land and you've done it. You know, you've done it. You won the Academy Award. You come on up there and then they say, no, you know what? It's not. I'm sorry. That was a mistake. It's actually Moonlight. And what a devastating moment that has to be in a way. And yet I think there's a powerful lesson in there as well, that, you know, the there, right? the there is winning Best Picture for Academy Award. And then all of a sudden you have it and then whoops, no, you don't have it. And there it's gone in a moment. And I think more and more, you know, the more that I put work out in the world, the more that I, you know, do these podcasts, the more that I help other people share their stories, the more I realize that it truly is the journey that matters most, that it's the journey along the way. Because if we focus on that outcome. It can be so fleeting. It can be as fleeting as the moment of you've won the Academy Award and now you don't. And even for the people who win the Academy Award, right? Even for those films that do win the Academy Award, how long does it take to, you know, for people to move on, right? You know, because you have your Oscar season and then that, you know, that's over and then it's on to the next thing. So when we're so focused on getting there, the problem is that, first of all, it doesn't last very long, right? Okay, I want to get to, you know, I want to sell 10,000 copies of my book. Okay, you've done that. Now what? I've had the opportunity over the years to interview many New York Times bestselling authors. And one of the things that I've heard consistently is the idea that, you know, just because you're a New York Times bestselling author doesn't mean that you're going to, for the rest of your life, you can rest on your laurels of being a New York Times bestselling author. Just because you sell, let's say, 1 million copies of a book doesn't mean that your next book will sell that many copies. And so once you get to that level of achievement, there's always the next thing. And what do you do then? And what I'm convinced is that this idea of being able to let go of the there and focus on what am I doing today to get my voice out in the world? What am I doing today to make a difference is much more powerful than focusing on those outcomes, because those outcomes are oftentimes out of our control and oftentimes very fleeting. It's the same way with music. You know, I think of how many one hit wonders, you know, how many, how many musicians are there who have had, you know, one major hit and maybe they continue to do other music, but they're known for that one song, right? But if you get stuck on that one song, if you just live your whole life on that one song and then you try to recreate that song over and over and over again, you're going to be missing something really crucial. And that's really the way it is with creativity in the world of playwriting, which I came out of, is really the same way. I mean, there are people who very early on, they hit it big and they write a play and it's really well produced all over the country. And then they continue to write plays, but maybe they never really get back to that original, the original glory that they had with their, you know, first or second play. And then there are people who work and work and work. And, you know, that saying the overnight success took 15 years to happen, right? That many times that overnight success takes a long time. And even that overnight success cannot necessarily be sustained at the original level at which you created it. There are very few artists and very few people who are able to maintain an extremely high level of visibility consistently over their career. I mean, I'm talking about people like writers like Stephen King, right? Or actors like Tom Cruise, those kind of people who remain quote unquote on the A-list for their whole career. The good news is that for you and I, we don't have to do that. We don't have to have that quote unquote level of success in order to have a meaningful life, in order to create change, in order to share our voice. What we need to do is consistently be building our community and sharing good content with them. That's really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to. And I spoke last week about the evolution of your voice, right? That a big part of the reason to consistently share content is, of course, to continue to build your community, but it's also to continue to evolve your voice. And trends come and go, and our voice may or may not be as popular over time, right? It may wane, it may rise, it may go, it may fall and rise again. But if we are true to ourselves and we consistently share what we believe in and how we see the world, then our core audience, the people who really know, like, and trust us, the people that we've built up over time, those people will be with us for the long haul, for the journey. You know, it's the same thing. Like, I think I've talked about this before, about things going viral and the idea of virality and what that really does for you. So every once in a while, you know, you might have a piece of content that has, I mean, I've never had anything go super viral, you know, thousands and thousands of shares. And I've never really built my career or built my business or built my voice around that. And then you have people who do go viral, right? And sometimes that really that blows them up into the stratosphere, and then they become celebrities in their niche. But sometimes it just means that a piece of content gets shared a whole bunch, and then that's it, you know, and that's it. And it, life moves on, and it's not everything that people thought it would be. And it's the same way with being on television. You know, people sometimes have television appearances and they think, oh man, you know, this is going to be the be all end all. A couple of years ago, I went to a conference, to a publishing conference. And there was a woman who her whole life, her dream was to be on Oprah, to be an author on Oprah. And she finally made it. She was able to get on Oprah and she was able to share her book on Oprah. And she only sold about a handful of books while on Oprah. And it was really disappointing to her because she had put so much into this idea of being on Oprah and being on Oprah. And in fact, what ended up helping her sell books in the long term was really just being out there consistently. And that's really the theme here, is about continuing to show up in the world. And yes, pay attention. You know, we do want to pay attention. I'm going to do a whole episode on this about using data to inform, you know, what people really want to hear. I mean, do pay attention and see, you know, what does my audience want? And you, we do have to give people to some degree what they want. But at the same time, we cannot control how popular we are at any given time, or how popular our authentic voices at any given time, right? If we truly see the world in a specific way, then we have a responsibility to share that. And so I just thought about, like I said, you know, going back to the Oscars a moment, I just thought about that, that whole thing of, you know, this second, this fleeting moment where you've won the Oscars. No, you haven't, you know, and I don't know if you remember, Steve Harvey did the same thing with, I think it was Miss America. He called out the wrong person, right? But at the end of the day, if we are putting our work out in the world, we are winners, and we truly are. There is no losing putting your work out in the world. There's a wonderful book that called One Continuous Mistake. And I definitely recommend, you can just Google it, One Continuous Mistake. And the author talks about this idea of writing as a path and writing as one continuous mistake. And what she says is that, you know, the only failure, or the only mistake, or the only final mistake is to quit. So as long as you don't quit, it's just one continuous mistake. And I really love that idea. You know, we're always figuring it out. We're always trying. We're always looking for new ways to do things, and that it's all one continuous mistake. It's sort of a Zen approach, as opposed to, like I said, you know, I think even the energy with which you put out content, if you're too attached to the outcome of a piece of content, I really believe that the energy in which you, that you put out in the world will make a difference. And ironically, the more that you're able to let go of the outcome, the more likely you are to be successful. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. So if you're creating a video, right, let's say you're making a video for your website, and you've put so much pressure on yourself that this is going to be the video, people are going to come to your website, they're going to see it, and they're going to, you know, they're going to love it. And now they're going to love you. And this is really going to make it break your career. You're going to tighten up. You're going to stiffen up. You're not going to be loose and relaxed. And you're not going to just share who you are, because now you're thinking about some other outcome. Your mind is divided. You're not just thinking about the video that you're doing. You're thinking about, do people like me? Am I likable enough? Am I smiling? Is there something in my teeth? And that is ironically going to draw people away from you, because they're going to sense that on some level. And the same way, you know, if you write a blog post and you think, oh my gosh, this blog post is going to be the be all end all of everything, right? This is my Oscar moment. Then you're going to ironically hinder yourself from really being creatively loose and sharing and coming from a place that is more relaxed. And that's a place where, ironically, more creativity and happens. So we focus on these moments, you know, we tend to focus on these moments in life where these Oscar moments, these moments where, you know, my video is going to go viral, or, you know, I have this opportunity to speak, and, you know, I'm working right now on a TEDx talk and I'm really excited about doing a TEDx, right? But if we only focus on that one moment of the TEDx and not focus on the day to day of sharing our voice, then I think we really miss something. And a lot of times people say to me, you know, Doug, what would I even talk about? What would I even share? I don't know what to share. If I do a podcast, or if I do a video, or if I do a blog, what would I even talk about? And what I tell people is to talk about the world as you see it, right? Talk about the world, talk about your perception and what's important to you, and obviously share content that's valuable to the audience as well. But if we focus on, like I said, these moments, you know, these one of a kind moments where it's all glorious, then those moments can too easily be taken away. And if we're pushing and pushing to get to those moments, we're going to create content that probably guides us away from our voice. You know, I think that Warren Bennis in On Becoming a Leader talked about this. It's a great book, actually, if you've never read it. It's On Becoming a Leader by Warren Bennis. And he says that people don't seek to be leaders necessarily. That he said the best leaders don't truly seek to be leaders. They seek to have full self-expression. And in the process of that full self-expression, they become leaders. And I think it's very similar when it comes to sharing our voice, that you don't, you know, you wake up in the morning and say, okay, I want to be a thought leader. On one level, that's okay. You can definitely do that. You can say, I really want to claim thought leadership, right? But another level, if you just wake up every day and you say, how do I share in a compelling way? How do I share what I believe in most? How do I share what's important to me? And then find a consistent way to do that, that the outcome is that you will become a thought leader. And whether it's 1,000 people or 2,000 people or 10,000 or 100,000 or a million people that end up listening to you, right? You will end up sharing your voice and making an impact in the world in the way in which you are supposed to do it. And I've said this before too, but this is really my belief that it doesn't matter. You don't know what kind of impact you can have. You know, just looking at your numbers and saying, okay, I have 1,000 subscribers to my channel and someone else has 10,000 subscribers to their channel. So that means, you know, they're 10 times the thought leader that I am. That really isn't true. There are things that you truly can't measure, and you don't know what the long-term impact of your voice is going to be. How many artists, right? Not that we're waiting for this, but how many artists have died and all of a sudden their work becomes the most important thing in the world? And when they were alive, you know, they didn't have two nickels to rub together, and then their paintings sell for millions of dollars. I mean, that's happened over and over again, right? And it's the same way. We don't know what the impact of our voice is going to be. We don't know if we're going to, you know, impact millions and millions of people, or will impact one other person who will then impact other people. We just can't measure that. And I don't think that it's our job to really do that. So again, you know, think about that Oscar moment, the La La Land moment, right? If all they had waited for was that one moment in time, that can be taken away so quickly and so easily. And yet there's so much more that it comes to. So what does that look like? You know, what is it? If there is no there, then what am I advocating? And let me share some tips with you about what I am advocating. So first and foremost, what I'm advocating is the idea of play. Making sure that the work that you're doing, the content that you're sharing, feels like play. It comes from a place of joy. If you're trying to get there, then you're pushing, right? You're pushing in this way that's not going to feel good. It's going to feel difficult and hard. But if you're playing, then, you know, when you see children playing, for example, right, you don't ask a child, well, you know, what are your 5-year goals? they're just going to say, hey, I'm playing right now. That's what I'm doing. That is my goal, right? The goal is to play. So find those forms of content that feel like play for you. And that might mean, for example, maybe you're doing long form content and that's not really working for you. You're doing, you know, 10,000 word blogs and that's just too exhausting for you. Well, then maybe you just need to start doing some Facebook shares or some Twitter shares and do something shorter and find something that just feels joyful, or vice versa. Maybe you're doing short stuff that doesn't really excite you and you really want to do long form. Well, then do some long form content and find the ways, like I said, you know, for me, it's podcasting for sure. Some video as well, but I love podcasting and, you know, I love talking to you directly, or I love having conversations with people. That feels like play to me. And it's something that I really enjoy. So I'm not connected to how many listens am I going to get off of this while I'm doing it. I'm just thinking about doing it while I'm doing it. So that's number one is play. And then number two is hold in mind this idea of, you know, letting go of the outcome. If you're telling yourself that it's so important, right, that it's content cannot be, content is not transactional. You can't give somebody a video and then say, okay, now buy my program. If you do that, again, that kind of energy is going to come across. So think of it as a gift, you know, give it away freely. So if play is the first part, the second part is think of it as a gift and give it away. Give away your content, give away your best content. When I hosted the coaching show for several years, people used to say to me that one of the things that came up over and over again, one of the consistent themes from experts from all over the world was give away your best content. And people would say, well, what if I give away my best content? Doesn't that mean that no one's going to buy my stuff, right? I should not give away my best content. I should hoard that. And then, you know, you have to spend $19.95 plus shipping and handling to get it. But the exact opposite turns out to be true. That in fact, if we give away freely our best content, what people end up saying is, oh my gosh, if the free stuff is this good, imagine how good the paid stuff is. So if we give it away, if we do it in a spirit of sharing and gifting to people, again, it just makes it more joyful and more playful and ironically, more likely to actually be shared. So that's number two. Number three is to be consistent. You know, that we can't get stuck on the roller coaster of, is it working? Is it not working? And again, I think about, for example, bands that they may have had, bands or artists who've had one major hit. You know, they have one major recording hit that went to the top 40. And then you ever say to yourself, man, I wonder what they're doing now. And you look and you say, oh man, they've actually done, you know, 20 new albums since that hit 20 years ago. But they just haven't gotten back on the, you know, they just haven't gotten back on the Billboard top 40. But they don't care. They didn't let that stop them from continuing to do music. They didn't say, okay, well, I guess we're not at the top of the heap, so there's no point, we're going to stop doing it. They do it because they enjoy it and they've been able to build up a following, maybe not the kind of following that they had with that one hit, but they've been able to build a following nevertheless. And that's really true for building your business and building content and sharing your voice. If you share content consistently, and that means even if it's once a month, you know, once a month you get out there and you have a newsletter or a podcast or a video or a blog, and you just keep doing it, you keep doing it, in itself, the keep on doing it part is worth it. It is worth it because you know, the people who are with you are going to, it's going to build that know, like, and trust factor, and you're going to stay top of mind. And even though maybe you never get back to, or maybe you never get to whatever it is that you've told yourself is the number that successful people reach or the number of followers that a thought leader should have, you never know the impact you're going to have. And it does make a difference to share content consistently. So it's really about, it's connected to letting go of the outcome, but it's about letting go of your own expectations and simply doing it on a consistent basis. And the consistency truly is its own reward. And then the last piece is that I want to share with you is the idea of taking the long view. And this is connected to the idea of letting go of the outcome, but taking the long view means thinking about it not from the, again, you know, that Oscar moment of I need to win the Oscar in 2017, but to think about where you want to be in terms of evolving your voice for 3 years out, 5 years out, 10 years out, 15 years out. Now, you can't know what your voice is going to be, but what you can know is that if you don't do this work today, if you don't show up in the world in this way, then you're not going to evolve your voice to where you need to take it in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. And the long view is also about having patience. You know, it's about knowing that on the one hand, I've certainly said to you, the time is now to share your voice. And the paradox is the time is now to share your voice and the world needs your voice now. But at the same time that we have to have an urgency about sharing our voice, we also have to take the long view that it takes years and years. And as I've said to you, my first writing teacher said, it takes 7 years to find your voice. Our voice, of course, evolves and changes with time. And if we can look at the whole of time, that we have the whole of our lives to share and refine our voice, I think that puts us in a place that's more centered and grounded. So that's really what I'm talking about here is the idea of creating content from a place of grounding and joyfulness. And truly, you know, creating is living our lives. There's no difference. And I know for myself, I can easily get caught up in the getting there. I can easily get caught up in, I'm behind, I'm not where I should be, I need to push, I need to move forward, I need to work harder. But it's in the accepting and in the grounding and in the finding joy and playfulness of life. That's where all the good stuff is. That's where all the juice is. And whether we win the Academy Award or we don't win the Academy Award, we've already won because we are creating content that is uplifting the world. And in this day and age, I really believe that that's what the world needs. And I've said this to you before, that you know, the world needs you to go out there and create, right? But not just create anything, not just create from a place of desperation or a place of frustration or a place of self-judgment, but a place of truly self-acceptance and a place where we can truly say, this is what I need to say, and this is how I need to say it, and this is how I see the world. Thank you so much for joining me. Be back next week on Creating Change. As always, keep creating. The world needs your voice. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.